Actually, in the last couple of weeks, the Lord has really ministered to our hearts very much. This morning at the 9 o'clock, and then especially I felt at the 11, there was really amazing anointing here. And then on Sunday, last Sunday, and also in the evening, Wednesday, zooming out that message, and in Revelation chapter 1, Christ is walking in the midst of the candlesticks. How many of you know that Bible verse? Christ is walking in the midst of the candlesticks. What are the candlesticks? It says the candlesticks are the seven churches. Then it says in his right hand are seven stars. What are the stars? They're the pastors. The pastors are in his hand. The seven pastors are in his hand, and then he's walking in the midst of the seven churches. Well, that is what I feel about the church, that God has churches, and then he has a ministry through the pastor-teacher. And I honestly believe there's something very real about that, and it is across the country and around the world. And for a young man to say in his heart, I want to follow Christ, and they do, and there are many of them here, and then the older guys too. We had a video this morning, and one of the things I noticed in the video was how old the people are. How old those people were that were soul winning, that were on the video that Sebastian made, and he did a good job. And he did it, and it's because he made it on a Saturday morning where the old folks gather down at the fellowship hall. And then I know that some of the young guys, they do it later in the afternoon, and also they do it at different times and so on. But later, I don't know, Pastor Adam, how you're going to do on this, but pray for him. He's sweating over there, sweating. All right, let's go to the message. Luke chapter 14 and verse 15. Behind soul winning is the heart of Christ. Pastor Shibeli says it this way in Africa. If you're an African pastor and you're not a soul winner, then turn in your ordination. I want you to think about it for a second. You're a pastor and you're not a soul winner. You don't share your faith, turn in your ordination. Why does he say it? Because God's heart is for the unbeliever. God's heart is for the unsaved. God's heart is for the people that don't know much at all about what they're doing. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, as he was being crucified. How many people don't have a clue about what is going on in this world? So here is verse 15. When one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. I've always wondered, what does he mean? Blessed he shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. You mean like after we die, we go to heaven and we eat bread there? What does he mean here? Or it really doesn't matter, for that bread is the same whether you are in heaven or you are on the earth, as long as you are eating bread in the kingdom of God. Christ used this statement to tell a parable. Verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. What does Christ have in mind? Eating bread in the kingdom of God. What does he say? He could say, I have a story. I have a story about that. That the kingdom that a certain man made a great supper and he bade many. And I think in behind that statement is the understanding that God has made a great supper for the whole human race. God has made a great supper where the whole human race, I don't know how to say it any differently, God Almighty wants the whole human race to eat bread in the kingdom of God. He made a big supper. But we're not spiritual. But we are blind. But we are sinners. But we don't care. But we don't believe. But we make excuses as long as our arm, all day long, all through our life. We don't care about your supper. We don't believe in your supper. We don't care about it. It means nothing to us. That's what he's saying. Verse 17, he says, come, all things are ready. That's because it is finished. It's done. It's ready. Everything is ready. The reason I asked Pastor Adam to sit up here is because I love the youthful vision. I love the radical living. I love to go out on the street. I love to get in the car. I love to carry the cross with a little wheel on it through the streets of Baltimore. I love to stand in a line where there's a movie theater line and just go down the line and hand out literature and look for a lost soul. I love to sit on a park bench and look at people. And at the airport tonight, I just watch people. I watch people as you do, I'm sure. I like it when the young guys say, let's have a prayer meeting. I love it. Pastor Stevens, when we first went to Bible college up into Maine, he said, we're going to take a bus. We're going to go to New Hampshire. We're going to stand on a mountain and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for the whole world. And I thought to myself, really? Are we really going to do it, or is he only saying it? Well, the next morning we got on the bus and we went and we did it. That is something that I learned in the church. Not only do we talk about it, but we actually say it and we actually do it. That's what I want to say to the young guys that are here and everywhere and the older folks too. It is, come. It's all ready. Verse 18. Then they all with one consent began to make excuse. We know about this. The verse said, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. Have you ever heard yourself make up these excuses? I can't go, I got to go buy a sandwich. I can't go, I don't have enough time. I cannot go because, and so on. We know about it. And the world is filled with it. But oh, if I could just sacrifice my excuse and go. If I could take my list, make out the list, and then just flush it. I could just talk to myself, if I could have somebody give me guidance and somebody say forcefully to me with God's authority, come. Come now. I had a translator in Hungary and we were soul winning and the guy said, oh, I'd love to come to the meeting, but I can't. I have to go to the birthday party tonight. My translator said, it doesn't matter. Cancel the birthday party and come to the meeting. You're making up an excuse. And I thought, wow, that's very bold of him. He did a good job. And I wonder what is more important. I wonder if I could go to a meeting and meet God himself if I would go. Once on the plane, I said to an unbeliever sitting next to me, I said, if God was behind the curtain and he asked me to come and tell you to go meet him, behind the curtain, would you go? Man sat there for a while, thought about it, and he said, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go. I don't know if I want to meet God. I'm not sure. At least he was honest. Verse 19. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife. And he doesn't say, I pray thee, have me excused. He said, therefore I cannot come. Sounds a little stronger, doesn't it? Then he said, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. That's it. He said, no, they don't want to come. No, they're not coming. They don't want to come. They don't want to come. It's shocking. I mean, yeah. At the same time, why? Why would you come to a church meeting like this? Why would you go listen to somebody preaching? Why would you go listen to a prayer meeting? Oswald Chambers, he was preaching in Egypt to the British soldiers for the YMCA. And he set up a tent that could hold 400 people. And they were to play some movies and entertain the soldiers and have some cards and talk. And they were coming from the war. They were coming from fighting the Turks, I think. I'm not sure what the war was. But he was in Egypt with a big tent. And they said, the YMCA said, how are you going to use the tent? He said, we're going to have prayer meetings and Bible studies. And they go, oh, no, they won't come. He said, then they won't come, but this tent will be for prayer and Bible studies. That's what he said. He started with a prayer, a couple of people. 8 people came. It's in a biography I read. Then you know what happened? The anointing of God, the wisdom, Oslo Chambers, the same one that has a world filled with his books, that his wife, he never wrote any. His wife took shorthand on everything he said and later published it, and it became Oswald Chambers' library. But a man who speaks like that, I think I would stop into the tent too. I would listen to what he had to say. I would be interested in the bread that is in the kingdom of God. There is bread in the kingdom of God. And blessed are they that eat the bread that is in the kingdom of God. But people don't come. They make excuses. They say, no, there isn't any such bread. I've got oxen. I'm married. I have my excuses. I bought this. I sold that. I'm going here. I'm going there. I know this and I know that. And the man said, the master, verse 21, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as you have commanded, yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into highways and hedges, compel them to come in. D.L. Moody would take a pony. This is 1866. I think he started 1861 in a Confederate camp in Tennessee in ministering. He would take a pony in Chicago, lead the pony through the town and put children on it and bring them to Sunday school. And he would do all that he could to get people to come into the house and listen to the gospel. That's the kind of heritage we have. That's what greater grace is. That's what the Bible speaks is. That's what it is. Not only talking about it, but doing it. Not only saying, Lord, the house is empty. We're going to go home. We're on vacation. I'm busy. I'm done. And a servant cannot do that. No, a servant cannot say, I am tired, bored, empty. Yes, we can say it, but we say it to God. And then God gives us direction. And he says, come on. You go out there into the highway and byway way like Bill Enzor, Wilson Lippi, Steve Paragallo, Liam McCahill, all these great people that are here in this building. Awesome. The ladies sitting with the ladies, helping them. The teenagers with the teenagers. Getting moving in the vision. Everything is possible. Get out there and compel them. Everything is okay. Whatever we do by faith and in love, we compel God's. We compel who? The blind, the halt, the lame, the weak, the uneducated, the illiterate, the people far away, the drug addicts, the problem people with addictions, dear people, caught by the devil, caught by the devil himself. But Christ is bigger than the devil, bigger than the lie, bigger than the bondage, bigger than the fear, bigger than the disappointment, bigger than the negativity, bigger than the unbelief. Christ is Christ. Christ will do it. Christ does it. We are messengers of Christ. Nothing less than God Almighty Himself. Father, help us so we could help others. Father, show us the way. Father, keep us out of a religious spirit and a moral critical spirit where we would criticize each other instead of people that will go into the highways and byways and into the uttermost part of the world and say, let us pray. God is here. God is moving. God can do it. Absolutely. Yes. So they came back. The Lord said, go into the highways and hedges. That little crooked street, that little place way far away. We were in Alaska one time. It was freezing cold. We had a knock on door. We went down a long road to one house. I thought, are we walking 1 mile in the cold to one house? And I kind of took courage in my heart. I go, yeah, that's missions. We're walking a mile in the snow in biting cold to knock on a door when we don't even know if anybody's there. We did it. I take that as kind of like, yeah, nothing. It's not, that's what it is in the parable. We come to Jesus with the problem. Jesus, knock it off. Stop. Get out there and get your work done. My house must be full. Stop your belly aching. Come on, I'm with you. And you know what? When it happens, and you go, just say, hey, this is easy. God is in it. Hey, this is my life. Hey, this is my joy. This is our future. This is what God is doing. I'm saying this by way of encouragement. I'm saying it by way of a parable that Christ taught. I'm saying it that just go back out there immediately and go, because the world is hurting and in a lot of trouble. Amen. Thanks for your prayers. I'll be in Hungary for 8 days, Lord willing, and coming back happily, skipping along on the way back. Thank God. Thank you for your love, your faith, your vision. Now comes the offering, and then pray for Pastor Adam.
All right, let's pray for the offering. Nothing more needs to be said. Let's pray. Father, we are in your enterprise, seeking and saving that which is lost. Father, as we give tonight, every giver, every amount, use it, Lord. Use it to reach one. Father, thank you that we can give to the glory of God. Bless this offering. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
We got a how many of you have some funny alarms on your phone, and you sometimes play different ones? I have this one that goes off just before we come to church, like, you know, 45 minutes before we have to leave, and it sounds like this.
Oh, come on, come on. Whoa.
It just keeps on repeating like that. So today, I believe, is Rosh Hashanah, right? Which is the beginning of the new year in the Bible, and it was a feast of trumpets when they would blow it actually 100 times in a service, and they read about Genesis 22 when Abraham bound Isaac, and they blow this trumpet. Signifying that you know, in the beginning God created everything, therefore he's the king, and kind of like we're blowing a trumpet for the king. And for us, the significance is this. 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, if the trumpet doesn't give a clear sound, who will arm himself for battle? And this is really what we do in outreach. People are, we have a sleeping world out there, and then on comes this, you know, believer with different kinds of trumpets that we have. You know, you got Pastor Phil Norman with his trumpet, and he can speak, you know, scientific babble like Doug Jansen out there, and they're able to do that. 1 Corinthians 9:22 says, I become all things to all men, that by all means I may save some. All things. Isn't it amazing? You see Pirio, who's from Finland, who's sitting down in an elementary school here, you know, with little kids singing Bible songs with them. All things to all men, that by all means, whatever trumpet God has given you, you know, Pastor Love with this amazing, like he could be on, I don't know, Fox News or something like that. Amazing silver, you know, and someone's sitting in the back row, and you say, well, you know, like my accent, people couldn't even understand what I have to say. You got a trumpet right there, you know. God has given you a trumpet, and we are just like making a noise in a sleeping world, you know. Bang! Do we have a trumpet here tonight, Pastor Wright? Isn't Pastor what's his name? Pastor Ed Canino. Yeah, he's got one. And this is really what it was. This is what they did when they marched around in Numbers chapter 10. They marched around Jericho, you know, and it came down. And our message to people is that there was a ram in the thicket. And there was a substitute for us, even for believers sometimes, that pastor that committed suicide, we heard. Like there was a substitute. You didn't have, someone died for you. There was a substitute for you. Oh, that he had have had someone with a certain clear sound. Not like a gospel that the Muslims would accept, some kind of works mixed in, but the clear sound. That it's there's a substitute that came for you, as you, on your behalf, that paid the price, that took the penalty, that can be your new you, like he who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:22, became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, a replacement you, someone who replaced Tony. Where are you, Tony? You know. Who a couple of, you know, some time back calls me up and says, I'm being chased by gangs. And today he says, I want to be in Bible school. There's a substitute that came for you, right? And this is the clear, certain sound that we blow. I think it's someone, Watchman Nee said, he said, never be ashamed of the gospel. The world should be ashamed of not receiving the gospel. We're living in a rebel planet that's been hijacked by Satan, and the king is coming back. Don't you love when the young little boy was hidden away, hidden in the temple, and you know, there's the queen. What was her name? Athalia, you know, everyone stand for Athalia, you know, and everyone knows she's not the one, but we know. And then he said, at a certain time, on a certain day, I want you to come out and I want you to, you know, come on, let's do it again. I want you to just kind of blow the trumpet right there. And this thing doesn't stop, by the way. There's a rule in that. It just keeps going until we leave the door. We got to get to church. Mike is like, you know, getting his shoe, got one shoe on, getting out of the door, and the trumpet goes off. You wake up, and this is what I mean. While the world is snoozing on their way to hell, right? We've got the message, and some people don't like it. You know, they didn't like. I personally was thrilled to see that one Christian stand up and say, "You're not putting my name on a man marrying a man." She stood up. The world went nuts, right? She just had her little trumpet. This is where the battle line is, and you're not crossing it, right? By the way, the judge was in jail. He couldn't do what he wanted to do. He couldn't do. She was a free woman, and this is what happens. We're just, you know, we're in our workplaces. You know, I don't have to be obnoxious, but I can be obnoxious too. And if God leads you, we're going in 2.5 weeks to we're going to Zanzibar, Zimbabwe, and Zambia. I don't know why. With Matt Roberge, you should bring your guitar, by the way. There's no singing allowed in Islam, so we'll just, I don't know, blow a trumpet, a joyful trumpet. And Joe Stuffer. I mean, can you imagine that? Joe Stuffer. And maybe you as well, right there. You could just go and kayak and buy your ticket. Get the dates from me, and we'll have a good time. But just having that clear, certain sound. And to some people, it's death. To some people, it's life. It's a savor of life. It just changes their life. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for, Lord, the victory's already been won. We don't have to fight some kind of a battle. The banquet is set. All things have been done. We're just compelling people to come in, really, maybe against their will. I don't know. Bring them in. Blow the trumpet. Well, not really, but Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. Really, what a privilege. Don't allow the devil to put this idea that it's some kind of a duty or burden or something that I could never do. It's just pick up your trumpet and blow the thing. And, okay, how do we do an invitation now? Wow. He who knew no sin became sin that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. This whole table has been spread for you. The whole cross was done for you. He rose for you. And all you have to do is receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a guarantee, a promise from God. Whoever calls on the name. Maybe you've heard the trumpet tonight. So I don't know what these people are talking about, but I know I need God in my life. And right now, in your heart, you can say, in Jesus' name, save me. I believe you died, were buried, and rose again. And I put my faith in you. In Jesus' name, save me. Maybe for the first time, if that's your prayer, put up your hand right now for an usher to give you something. Is anyone tonight? You want Christ to save you? Christ to give you eternal life? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the gift. Thank you that it's free. Thank you for your policy of grace. Thank you for saving us while we're sinners, Lord. Thank you for writing our names in heaven. Thank you that this is we have a certain sound today, Lord, a sound of joy, a sound of liberty, liberty for captives, liberty for people that are in bondage, liberty for people who live in fear of death their whole life, liberty for people like Pastor, like Bill Enzo, that are people that are those soldiers that are depressed, and we have a sound that can set people free, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name for this great privilege, for even health, Lord, that today we were able to get up and we have the ability to speak with, maybe we got a broken trumpet, but that's okay. But that, Lord, each day is an opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.